podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low. Great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davison Sanchez, Lucas Moura, and belted into the net. Brilliant goal. On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot. Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional. Lamella will try and place it. Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason. Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward. Oh, wow, what a run! Heung-min Son from inside his own half has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career.
Evening, all, and welcome to another episode of the Touchline Hotspur podcast. I'm hosting this evening. Owen's done a great job of hosting, to be honest. He's basically taken my spot. And I think he's actually better at hosting than I am. So I'm filling in for Owen this week. That's how good this guy has been in the past couple of weeks. But anyway, I'm joined by two of the ever so present regulars. Tops, how you doing?
Yeah, good, bro. All good, man. Riding the wave at the moment this week.
Yeah.
So just wait until Sunday, man. But yeah, I'm good, bro.
Calm. Spurs ain't ruining your joy. Nah, England are filling you with joy, right?
That's it, man. I'm filling me with joy, man. I'm happy, man. I'm happy.
Okay, okay. And we have also got our resident Scott Hall from the new Spurs order. Yeah, what are you saying, man?
I'm fine, man. It's good times, bro. Spurs, I ain't heard too much in the news about Spurs, so they ain't been depressing me. And to be fair, you know, I'm not really England's biggest fan, but they've done themselves really proud in this. In the last two tournaments, they've done themselves really proud. So it's interesting to finally see England in a final, and we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, we will. We will. It's due to be a great game. I'm sure we'll talk about it as we go along our agenda. But anyway, let's sort of get straight into it, because it's been a week and a bit of Nuno Espirito Santo at Spurs. Pre-season has started now. We've seen the pictures filtering out of the Spurs website, Twitter. We've seen Ndombele in training pics. We saw the Spurs account talking about Sessegnon, because obviously he's back in the fold now. He's in first team training. Unfortunately, we still saw bums like Harry Winks there as well. Unfortunately, we're seeing some bums in those training pics as well. But the one player that we're not seeing is Harry Kane. And the reason why we're not seeing him is because he's too busy captaining his country to a Euro 2020 final. I don't know about you lot, but I honestly, like, I'm not... The thing is, I don't have, like, a strong affinity to England, because I try to support England and they just let you down, innit? But, like, irrespective of what the result is, like, I can't help but feel a sense of... I can't help but feel proud of Harry Kane. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a Spurs player leading England to their first final in 55 years. It's a lot, man. It's actually a big deal. You see how people are moving mad. You see people jumping on buses. You see the madness that they were doing on Wednesday. It's a big deal, man. And for it to be a Spurs player to score that goal that takes England to that final, man, it's emotional, man. It's crazy. What's your lot sports?
Trust, man. Like, certain man tried to dunk on my boy's head.
Yeah,
he had to come back with the vital goals, the vital assists, the vital penalties. Now who's chatting? After the season this guy has had, the contribution he's had at club and country, certain man just have to shut their mouths, yeah? Shut
Tell
their
him.
Stinking mouths.
And Tell
take
him.
What's good for them, man. Because Harry Kane, that's my guy. That's my striker, HK10. He's been dunking on these man all season, and they thought, raw. End of the season. Man's moving a bit tired. Man's moving a bit slow, a bit sluggish. I beg, shut your mouth, man. Have respect. Put respect on my boy's name, man. Put respect on my boy's name. Please.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm coming to you next as well, because let's be honest, Harry Kane had a shit group stage. He had a shit group stage. Let's call a spade. He had a shit group stage. He didn't even play well against Germany, but when the going gets tough, he's there, man. Talk to me, man. Talk to me about H.
I think Tops, in terms of like some of the violence he received on Twitter, he has every right to give the people the Superman chest. Like, I saw some of it. I knew Tops is a big boy, so I didn't need to come in there with the interference to the ring. He handled his business, yeah? But if we're going to be, like, fair towards, like, our judgment of Kane, you're right, he didn't have a great group stage. Poor stinker, really, to be fair. Like, we have to be, like, as brutally honest towards Kane, even though our affiliations are Spurs. We have to be brutally honest towards Kane as we would towards any player that wasn't Spurs affiliated. So he had a stinker. All right, cool, but tournament football allows you to have a stinker in the group stages. So long as your country makes it out of the group stages, you can obviously get better as the tournament progresses. And yes, he wasn't too good against Germany, but essentially they got the job done. He got his first goal of the tournament, which was crucial. You could see he was relieved. He had a good game against Ukraine, took the first goal sublimely well, like he should do, like what we expect of him. Got second goal. There was moments in there where I thought he could have, like, you know, stepped up the play a bit more, but there's no complaints. They won 4-0 very comfortably. Against Denmark, I think Denmark was an interesting game, to be fair. I think he didn't start off too good. Got into the game, started to show better performances. And as he got into the game, England started to purr and basically dominated the rest of the game. It looked like Denmark were basically on the counter-attack or like basically hoping for opportunities as threatening as they were. But once Kane got really going, I wouldn't say it was his best performance of the tournament, because I think the Ukraine game was a better performance. But I think for the impact, that Denmark game was crucial. And yes, he missed the penalty, but like a very good striker, he followed it in. Yeah, get me though. Okay. That's how you make babies, by the way.
Tell him again, man. Let's, before we get onto the penalties one as well, let's actually talk about his performance as well, because
oh man, it's crazy.
I think as Spurs fans, like, we know firsthand what a good Harry Kane looks like. That's why it's so easy to, I think general football fans should know what a good Harry Kane looks like, because Kane is a striker who is always in the game. Like, even when he's not scoring, he's always in the game. He's making shit happen, yeah? And that was the one thing that you could see was missing in the first couple of games for England. Nothing was happening with Harry Kane. The touches were poor, sloppy, link-up was poor, static movement. Like, it just wasn't clicking, and he wasn't playing well. But it's weird. I feel like he's a bit of a slow starter. We've seen it at times in a couple of seasons where he'll start off slow and he just goes mad. And I think this is translated into the tournament as well. Started off slow, but credit to him, he's gone mad. Because for me, I know he scored the two goals in Ukraine, but for me, on the ball, I think his best performance for England was against Denmark. I think I wouldn't say he was a 10 out of 10, but he played well. He put in a captain's performance. On the ball, off the ball, pressing, working hard. Yeah. His pass for that led to the equalizer was sublime. Like, people
on the
talk
turn,
about,
it was, yeah, absolutely
sublime. Honestly. People talk about, oh, why is Harry Kane dropping deep, etc., etc. That is why. That's why.
Man, like, so many things about that performance was just like, I know we say this guy is world class, right? But how many players are going to lead the line the way he did at times in that game? There were moments where we needed a pressure relief. He'd take the ball on the sidelines. He'd hold it up, beat a couple man, grab a free kick. We can relax. We can restart. So many moments in key areas, dropping in to help the players like Mount, like Sterling, like Saka, feed in front of him. Happy to do that. That is what you call a complete striker performance. And rightly, as you said, the penalty came. In my heart, I was like, man, this is his bag. But when I saw the penalty was mid. The penalty was so mid for his standards. I couldn't believe it. But as you said, he was managed to follow it in and get his goal. Now, from what people were saying was now a poor tournament, my man is basically on the cusp of basically getting golden boot.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, you can't fault him. And rightly so. Yeah, he's had a bit of a slow start. But I could definitely say that this is the player that we need him to be for England. And he's very much coming to his own, man. Like, I can't fault that performance. Him and Sterling were just unreal, man, on Wednesday night. So I'm just happy, man. Just happy.
I think I'm going to come to you on this. And I feel like, because with Harry Kane, it's weird. We don't really see the Spurs Harry Kane translated on the international stage for England in these tournaments. In Euro 2016, he was poor. World Cup 2018, he got top scorer and I commended it for him. But in terms of his performances, it wasn't really the Kane we know. And like we've spoken about the group stage as well. But I feel like, I don't know, these knockout games were finally seeing the Tottenham Harry Kane come to the fore for England. How important is he for England's hopes in this final? Because I know we've got the history with Chiellini. It's the history of Tottenham. I mean, boy, Italy are not going to be any slouches. But talk to me about Kane's importance in this upcoming game on Sunday.
This might sound controversial, but I think Sterling's more important to England's overall performance on Sunday. And what I mean by that is, I think the group stages, although Kane wasn't good, he, as we acknowledge, he had a stinker. The fact that we saw Sterling perform and kind of like drag the team along kind of showed that, all right, fine, Kane could technically go missing and England could still get the job done. What has happened in the last two games is we've seen what happens when Kane turns up. Now it makes England virtually impossible to beat, like easily. Yeah, like he makes them, it's another level he takes them to. I think in this final, it is important that Kane does perform in some shape or form. He doesn't have to score, you know, although, you know, the people that don't watch football and just watch stats will be like, he didn't score, he's dry, you know, and it's doo doo. No, it's not about that. Yeah. We don't need Kane to score. We just need him to turn up. Yeah, and there's a very big difference to the two. Kane turns up, mixes it up with his teammates. England possibly win this game. Yeah, because Kane is on paper the biggest threat, rightly so, because he is the better striker of the ball. But the threat in the tournament so far has been Sterling. So if Kane is able to mix it up with the team, Italy are in for a whole heap of danger. If Kane struggles in this game, England will struggle, but can still slightly, possibly get over the line because they have performed as a team very well. But I think if I'm putting on the Tottenham hat, hold on. The Tottenham hat. Let me say it like this. Fine, I'm not England's biggest fan, but Chiellini has to go. He has to go. Look.
We love him.
On his head. Listen.
Yeah. After Kalini dropped that line, yeah, he was dead to me. I don't buy him on Pez. I don't buy him on a manager. Yeah. I don't care if he goes and regens as a coach. He's done to me. Yeah. He's done out here. Yeah. After he dropped that line, you're finished. When I play with Juventus, I put him to the subs bench. I don't want to see him. Yeah.
Good.
So for that sake alone,
I need
England it. And Kane have to deliver, innit? Yeah.
We have to.
Right. Yeah.
I need a mudded.
But if, and I'm going to be like fair, yeah? If they don't, Chiellini has to be injured. Like, it's one way or the other. I'm not here for niceties, innit? No, it's not what I do.
I need him mudded. I want Chiellini's head on a Game of Thrones style. You remember Joffrey? You remember when Sansa Stark begged for her dad's life? And he said, bring me his head. Bring me Chiellini's head on a plate, on a platter. I want it.
With salad.
I need it. Oh, Kane has to dunk on his head top with the might of Tottenham. I promise you, this guy deserves it. This guy properly deserves it.
He's got a good record against him, to be fair.
I'm already reading some of the rubbish he's talking about, saying that, oh, well, you know, a team like England have played 6 out of the 7 games at home, so of course they should be in a... shut your mouth, man. Just wait until we find you, bruv. Just wait until we find you. Talking about, man. Oh, please.
Bruv, I'm not sure if you got seen the photos on Twitter, and it was like... It was like racism versus racism.
I've seen that one.
And then there was another one with Peaky Blinders versus The Sopranos. Tony Sopranos. Quality. But anyway, yeah, let's move off of Harry Kane now, because I feel like 14 minutes eulogizing on Harry Kane is enough. I want to talk about another player in our team. Before we talk about all the nonsense preseason stuff, let's stay on Euros as well, yeah. I want to talk about Pierre-Emile Højbjerg. I really do, because we need to have a dialogue about this guy. We need to have a dialogue about how good a tournament this guy has had. I literally just, today, randomly, I was on The Athletic and I read this article, the article they wrote about him before England played Denmark. And it actually gobsmacks me how good a player this guy is. Like, I did not expect him to be this good. I really didn't. And he's such a good player. And I don't think he gets his flowers from opposition fans as well. Tops, what do you make of his tournament? Because when you read some of the articles, when you see his performances on the pitch, like, he stood up. Not saying he's been their best player, but he's definitely been one of their influential. What's your take on Højbjerg?
To be honest with you, it's mad, isn't it? Because when we first signed him, I was screaming out for us to have someone who was somewhat of a technician in front of the back four. And the role he played for Tottenham has been a massive one, because we needed a player like that to be consistent, to be able to master that midfield. And albeit he had some periods of the season where he was up and down, you know, the guy played a monster amount of games in the season. So I thought to myself, okay, then, you probably deserve a rest, but you're going to Euros. We'll still catch you at the Euros. I've now caught him at the Euros. And boy, I'm not going to lie. Crazy things happen when you're not worried about the shackles of a shit defence behind you, you know. I swear to God. Because he looks completely different. You look at him in the midfield three with Delaney and that young guy, Damsgaard. In a more like attacking position, and you see that this guy, he can play. He's managing to get himself in excellent positions, making passes before assists, bringing his team forward, and also playing as a captain in the team without Eriksen. Like, this tournament is, like, I'm not gonna lie, I wanted us to win against them, but I knew that, you know, in order for us to beat them, it's gonna have a difficult game to allow this guy to not play. And I was looking at some of his performances on SofaScore, some of his stats. Considering the amount of games this guy's had this season, he's had an excellent Euro, so, and he can hold his head high going back on his holiday. I don't believe, like, I feel like at Tottenham, we are actually shackling the kind of player that we can have with him. And maybe because he has to do quite a lot in that midfield, or he has to play a lot of games, which I think Skip will help. But man, like, this tournament, I've been massively impressed by him. I can't lie, man. Like, I'm massively impressed. Like, even the outpour of emotion he had after the, was it the Croatia or the Czech Republic game? Look at him thinking, that's what you want in a midfield captain, in a fighter, someone who, you know, it means a lot. And you think to myself, people were talking about, oh, he's the guy that's had the most, he's been run past the most all season at Tottenham. Like, you have to take everything into context, man. But he's definitely stepped up at this tournament. I've been so impressed with him, man, properly.
Yeah. Give me your thoughts on Hoy. Pierre.
He's had a good tournament. And probably he's probably like surprised a lot of people, rightly so, because it has been a very good tournament, especially how it started for Denmark, to be fair, which a lot of people didn't take into consideration. So he has had a very good tournament. I think it does highlight exactly what I've been saying all of last season. Like, fine, granted, Jose Mourinho wasn't necessarily like, but I don't care what manager came in. To have a defence of Davinson Sanchez, Eric Diabolical, Toby Alder, I'm old Virold, and freaking whoever was left, yeah? Like, that defence is shocking. So you're going to strap, you know, a lot of shackles on a guy like Højbjerg, who's got the engine to, you know, kind of like, you know, plug up the holes that get made. Pause, no pun intended, of course, yeah? But that gets left by the defence, yeah? Now, when you take that into consideration, seeing him at international level, it's the best of the best. It's the best Danish players for that season. So he's not going to come to the international thinking, oh, you know what, I need to cover, you know, my man, Anderson, or I need to cover Vestergaard. These men are the best of the best in our nation. They should know how to do their job or their certain assignment. So the shackles are released. The same thing happened with Xhaka and Switzerland. I know people are not going to know every Switzerland player, but these are the best of the best at what they do at international level. At club level, you see the faults in players and whether they can, you know, deal with the issues that the club have, because it's not necessarily the best of the best. Dyer shouldn't even be the top 100 centre-back in the whole of England. He's that crap, yeah? And Sanchez, let me tell you something about Sanchez, yeah? Any team that has Davinson Sanchez in it doesn't deserve silver. Yeah, it just doesn't, yeah? Because we've done this to ourselves, yeah? We've done this to ourselves, yeah? So, Højbjerg, he definitely had a good tournament. I'm not going to say great, because I think maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because of the time in which I was watching football. It's hard for me to say great. But if somebody says great, I also respect their opinion on that. But I think he had a very good tournament, a very good tournament. And he showed everyone that understands football exactly what he's about. Now, if we can release the shackles coming into this season, yeah, there could be good things in the horizon for us.
I think because obviously when he came to Spurs, one of my main sort of gripes, because I understood that he was a player that our midfield needed in terms of his bite, aggression, and just his work rate, because his defensive stats the season prior for Southampton were up there with the very best in the league, up there, yeah. Right up there. Mm-hmm. So it looked like a midfielder that we needed, but the role he played at Southampton was different to the role he played at Spurs. Southampton played a 4-2-2-2 with Ralph, and he would play next to James Ward-Prowse. He was like a pressing number eight. Like, he wasn't really a sitter. He didn't really sit at Southampton, but he sat a couple times for Denmark when he played on the internationals. And he sat for the majority of the season at Spurs. He was our deepest player, so he would be the one that we'd want to collect the ball the deepest and just operate in that area. But like you said, I think most of us as Spurs fans, most of us have known that this guy can use the ball well, because it was something that shocked me. Tops, we spoke about this. Spoke about this a couple months back with Dave. Like, I'm within the first probably 2 months of watching this guy, I was shocked at how good this guy is on the ball. Like, he doesn't really get enough plaudits for like his ability to progress the ball at a good level. Not a great level, but he does it at a good level. And I think for Denmark, him playing in this role, like you said, yeah, without this, where he's not shackled, where he's got a sturdy defence behind him, and he can just be a eight alongside Delaney, he's been excellent for them. And for me, it's telling that he's played every single minute of their campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If there's one thing you notice as well, yeah, against England, the manager took off basically all of their best players in midfield and attack, bar Højbjerg, because they were tired, they were lagging. Dahlberg went off, Damsgaard went off, Delaney went off. They all went off, apart from Braithwaite, who was an energizer bunny, and Højbjerg. The guy played 120 minutes off the back of every single minute that they've had in the tournament, which tells you the importance that he's had to that team. And I think coming into this season now, he gives us that option. Okay, you can do a decent job. In fact, you can do a good job at the base, but now you're saying you can do a job next to Ndombele, and we put someone behind you, like a skip, or we buy in a DM, we bring in maybe a Frank Kessie. I don't know. It gives us options. It gives us options, because I think our midfield balance is one that we're still searching for. We still don't have balance in that midfield.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since the likes of Dembele went and Wanyama fell off and stuff, we've just not had stability in our base. So it's definitely something that we can look at coming up this season as well. I was going to ask you, Tops, as well. What's been your view on Giovanni Lo Celso? Have you been keeping track of his?
I've been keeping track a little bit in the Copa America. He does seem to be having a decent tournament. Obviously, they're in the final upcoming against Brazil. I mean, from what I've watched as well, a lot of what Argentina do seems to work around funneling it through to Leo. To be honest with you, at this point, anything that he does could be perceived as, you know, as okay or decent if it ends up being a goal or something. But they seem to be talking. I saw a couple articles from Ali Gold, which talked about his importance in the team. He's played quite a few of their games, and he does look a bit more like the player that we bought. But again, I don't know South American football as well as maybe the next person. And to be honest with you, you know, I'm still waiting to see the best Giovanni Lo Celso. Like, I hope maybe this is kind of giving him an invigoration, being in the national team, being in a cup final, hopefully, getting some rest and then coming back to Tottenham refreshed. Because one of my biggest gripes with him was that he's always on the treatment table, you know, and having this period of games for Argentina and hopefully coming back for the new season, we can get the Lo Celso that we think we have, you know. But at this point, I can't really speak heavily because I don't watch South American football too tough like that. But from what I've seen, the games that I've watched, he's done all right. Like, he's a worker. The one thing I always like about him, he's a worker. He's not lazy, which I like.
Yeah.
And I always like how industrious a player he is, you know. With his technical ability, he does put in a shift. Almost like a, well, not as productive, but almost like a mount, if he wants to, you know.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I've actually watched a few Copa games, not all, but I've watched a few. The Argentina games I've watched, Lo Celso's been okay. Like, he's not been, I don't think he's been anything extraordinary. I think he's been all right. But, I mean, clearly, the manager in Argentina fancies him. He's played, he started 4 out of their 6 games played. I think the only games he didn't play was when he got injured. I think he got injured and he missed like one or two matches. But clearly he's important for the team. Yeah, do you see a spot for Lo Celso in our midfield three? Like, are you expecting anything tangible from Lo Celso this upcoming season? It's all right to say no, because I'm not expecting a lot as well.
It's actually a tricky one. Yeah, now I'm probably going to get a lot of enemies off this because this is really a tough one. There's a technicality with Lo Celso, and I genuinely feel he might only benefit from a free roll because he has the engine to kind of like go across the midfield line. Yeah, so not necessarily, I wouldn't say he's a great playmaker. I don't get that. Sense of footballing IQ from him, but he can find the pass and he has got, you know, very tidy feet. So unless he's playing a free role, I think he's going to struggle to get into the starting lineup, especially in the Premier League because of such the tempo in which the league is at. If it's a case of, you know, he's not really doing it for the starting 11, you know, the first team, and he's more like a benchman, then, you know, I'd be happy for him to, you know, ply his trade in the Europa Conference League. You know, that's, he can captain that side. You hear me? You know, he can do that. You know, guide these youngsters.
What do you think of this then? Because there was going to be a section I was going to dedicate to players we've been linked to, but we may as well speak on it now. Apparently, Spurs are looking to try and sign Uar. I mean, he's someone who you'd expect if he's in our team, he would suit that free role because he can operate on the wing. He can operate in as the interior of a midfield three. Sometimes he could be utilized as a 10. What's your thoughts on Uar? Because essentially, the role that you just mentioned that Lo Celso could play for Spurs, he sort of plays for Lyon at his best. So it's weird. If we're trying to sign Uwar, surely that must mean someone like Lo Celso, he's either on a chopping block or he's going to be a rotation player.
You see, my thing is I don't have a problem with Lo Celso being a rotational player. I don't have a problem with any of our midfield being rotated. Like, the best teams rotate their players. So if we're going to be like up there as one of the top teams in England, we need to start getting into the habit of like resting players, rotating them, using them in the right games against the right teams and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. If it's a case of, all right, cool, we get our in and people are like, we should be selling Lo Celso. I'm like, I'd keep Lo Celso. There's other bums in our squad that could go, bro. They could go for free.
Listen.
There's even one that dreaded up his hair. Yeah. Hey, straight here from the north side. Hey, Ali, I don't want you here no more.
We're gonna talk on him now. So let's talk about Dele, because I mean, we've been seeing the Spurs media machine in overdrive. It's like his people have paid Dele for it's like his people have paid Spurs to just keep posting pics and videos and shit of this guy. The way I look at it now, I see pics of him in some basic ass expensive drip. Then I see videos of him training in Portugal. Then I see it's just they're doing a lot of prop to try and get us gassed to see what he could still offer us. This is his seventh season coming up to his, this will be his seventh season at Spurs.
Yeah, seventh season. Yeah, because we signed him at 18, and he's
Enough now, lads. But Tops, I know Yao hasn't read the interview, but you have. What did you make of his interview recently? Because I feel like he, at least he's taking accountability.
I was gonna say that, like, you know, he speaks a number of different things. He speaks firstly like about him blaming himself, because he feels like he hasn't reached the levels that he wanted to be. Interestingly, he doesn't blame Jose.
It's his own fault. No, Tops, stay with your chest, bro. This is your fault. Stay with your chest, bro.
Yeah. I agree.
I think
Jose didn't help, but he definitely cannot blame Jose.
He can't, because at the end of the day, I think he played under Jose, there was 32 games. He only played like, I think, 250 or 230 odd minutes. And then under Mason Mount, he played 6 games and played more minutes in those 6 games under Mason Mount than he did under Jose. But even then, his production was near on arse. Like, in my opinion, and I said this last week, he needs to have a look at himself, man, because this is a 25-year-old who, in my opinion, he came into the league, came into Tottenham on a wave. He was an unknown quantity and he absolutely killed it. He had a couple injuries, and this is not the same player that we know. But it's almost as if that even this is not the same player we know, he hasn't seemed to want to develop his game in any way to make himself adaptable for the team. Because the team has changed from when it had Dier in midfield, Wanyama, Dembele and Eriksen. But the player that we're watching now, I feel like there's maybe a little bit of like the energy or the bite that we once had with him. And in my opinion, I feel that it will better him to just try a new thing, just have a new challenge. There's no harm in saying, you know what, maybe right now I need to change my settings and see if I can do something different. Jesse Lingard did it, and he almost got into the England squad, like, you know, and he's younger as well. So there's no reason why Ali can't do that. I personally think his time at Tottenham is done. The one thing I will give him credit for is that he took accountability, which I think is important, because at least you can acknowledge that you're not really doing what you should be doing. And it's good, because at least he realizing that his shit does stink. Whereas there are certain men in our squad that are still of the opinion that their shit don't stink. And actually, their shit fucking stinks. So I don't mind that he's given us the accountability. I get that. I thought there were some interesting comments in the interview. He was talking about getting himself right. He's changing his diet and getting exercise. And he actually mentioned about having to do things in the off season that would be similar to like what a Ronaldo would do, which I thought was quite interesting, considering this guy hasn't been anywhere near even his previous sort of quality or production level in the last, let's say, 2-3 seasons. So I feel like under Nuno, if we don't get rid of him, he's going to have a new lease of life again. But again, I'm not really buying it, man. Like, to be honest with you, like, I like the kid, but I'm done with him now, man. I'm done. I kind of feel like it's time for him to move on.
Seeing his believing, Top. Seeing his believing. Like, we've not seen anything for too long. Go on, yeah.
Just 1-2 pence on this, because, you know, the honourable gentleman, Tops, obviously, red man, he's right. Now, I don't want to add too much, because he's already going to be doing his time in jail, because we know he's convicted. But what I will say is, I don't care for what Dele Alli's press team are doing. Yeah, you're not winning me over. The only way you're going to win me over is by bringing silverware to Spurs. Yeah, and even then, I might still boo you, innit? We're at that point in the relationship. Yeah, because I've had enough. Well, and what I mean by that, like, I know men are saying, yeah, maybe he should move on. Look how it worked for Jesse Lingard. Look, as much as people cuss Jesse Lingard came out 2 seasons ago or a season and a half ago, said he was dealing with mental health issues. You know, he didn't want to go into it, but he had loads of family dramas. All right, cool. We respect that. You had to move away from Manchester. You went and done your thing in East London. Cool. Dele Alli's issues, outside of what he's told the press, have been boohoo.com. What's going on here? Yeah? What's happening here? Yeah, you're doing modelling in Love Island, but you can't give us 1-2 goals. All right. So, Tops has told you he's done with you. Toby doesn't even wear your shirts no more. And I personally, yeah, if I see you in my ends, I might slap you in it. Like we're at that point. Yeah. So, from the 3 honourable gentlemen, no Spurs, you know, new Spurs order and all that jazz, if you don't get 20 goals and 10 assists next season, we're after you. Like, your house is on notice. Yeah, like
20 goals and 10 assists.
20 goals, 10 assists. Jesus Christ,
come on. Joe's scary.
I'm even going to be nice and say across competitions.
Like that as well. That's what's mad. Huh? He's actually put up numbers like that before.
He had what his best ever season. He put up numbers like that, yeah.
Which is like,
look, I'm even going to be nice and say across all competitions. I'm going to be that nice and say 20 and 10 across all competitions. If man can't deliver 20 and 10 across all competitions, he needs to be deleted. Yeah, like
I may as well delete him now because it's not happening.
Well,
it's
then,
not happening, man. It's not happening.
I'm cool with him being gone, innit?
Respectfully, it's a no from us, innit? That's it, basically, isn't it? It's a no.
Unrespectfully, I'm not respecting it. No, check out, bruv.
Listen, okay, lads, it was good talking Dele. I think the message is clear and it has been reiterated across all of our previous episodes. But let's talk about a midfielder who, apart from Uwa, who we were linked with at the top of the week. Miralem Pjanic. We all know Barcelona's issues. We know that they are well over £1 billion in debt. We know that they need to get 200 million off their wage bill this summer. And it's looking like there might be a fire sale there. They're willing to even let some players go for £0 sterling just to get them off the wages.
What was the debt?
Oh, yeah. Bro, they're over 1 billion euros in debt.
Yeah, brother. It's bad. They're down bad.
Yeah. I know you men are jokers, yeah. You men can't be spinning me live like this.
No, they're down bad.
They're over £1 billion in debt, and most of their debt is repayable now. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not manageable debt like us. Most of their debt has to be paid within the upcoming the near future, basically. So
why don't we go for 30 mil?
Where are we going from here?
This was De Jong, 30 mil.
De Jong, 30.
Yeah, them man are broke. You can't, beggars can't be choosers, bro.
He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. Man. He's the prize jewel. He's not going anywhere. But yeah, not, anyway, yeah.
Off their wage bill.
They have to get 200 million off their wage bill, yeah. So, so their wages, the wages they pay some of their players are brazy. Like, they tried to, Ousmane Dembele, they've offered him a new contract and they're basically trying to get him to take a 50% wage cut because they're paying him too much money. He's on the injury table. They're saying, we want to keep you, but we genuinely cannot afford to pay you this much. So, yeah, anyway, let's talk back on Miralem Pjanic. Barely played for Barca last season. One of the weirdest swap deals ever with Arthur, who didn't make sense to me. Barcelona were letting go of a player who I felt was, at this point in time, better than Pjanic and younger. But it was weird. It was some sort of accounting bullshit that they did. But anyway, yeah. Miralem Pjanic, yes or no? And give me your reasons on a free transfer.
Tops, you go.
Initially, I was like, no. And to be honest with you, the reason I said no was purely because I looked at the age and I looked at the amount that he played last season. And I felt like it wasn't really a signing that I thought or the kind of profile of player we should be looking at purely because of how we've always done business. But actually, after like pondering, a lot of points were made in like the group chat and then looking at the kind of profile of player he is, I think it would be a good deal. This is a player who, you know, even though he's only 31, he only played around 20 games last season. He plays sort of in that central midfield role. He's a set piece taker. He could even operate as like a deep line playmaker. So which would allow us a bit more flexibility in that midfield. And he's an international. You know, I think at this point you can't really say no to a deal like that, really. I suppose my biggest qualm was also not just his age, but just the fact that, you know, having played most of his career in Italy and then moving to Spain, the pace of the Premier League would be something, or the pace and, like, you know, the power of the Premier League could be something that could be a bit under question for him. But if we're looking at the quality of the player, absolutely, man. Like, this is a player who we know has done well at a number of different teams in Europe, Roma, Juventus.
He's starting up at Lyon as well.
You know, playing at Lyon and obviously that weird 60 million euro deal to Barcelona. This is a player that could easily upgrade. It's an easy upgrade on a Harry Winks, easy upgrade on a Sissoko. So there's no reason, if we can get it on a free, despite whatever, cause I think I read the wages were something like 5 or 6 million a year, which is quite a lot for a 31-year-old. But even on a 1 or 2 year deal, on a free, I think we can free that at this point, man.
Let me just put it to you this way. Like you said, Winks is probably on around 60 to 70 bags a week. Sissoko, probably 90 bags a week. Eric Dier, probably 80 bags a week. Davinson Sanchez, probably 70 bags a week. Lamela is on 100 bags a week. Dele is on over 100 bags a week. These are my responses when I speak about Pjanic being relatively low risk on a free transfer when people tell me, oh, but we can't afford him. That's my response. Look at, add up those wages and then tell me we can't afford Pjanic on a free transfer. Yeah, I'm going to come to you next before I give my verdict. Give me your thoughts.
Listen, you read out some of the wages and the smell of duty that I've whiffed in this house. It's disgusting. How dare you inflate this quality podcast with such stinking stats? You should be ashamed of yourself.
Bro, it's mad.
It stinks. Pjanic is a fantastic technical baller. Like, if you've watched him throughout his career, he is top quality. I think Tops brought up some key points. The Premier League is a frightening league because none of the teams really want to let you rest. I mean, you might get a few 4-0s and 5-0 victories, but even those teams will want to fight you for 90 minutes. So can he cope with the pace of the league? I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that. But he's good. He's a good playmaker. He's a very good playmaker. Something we don't have. We haven't had since Eriksen down-tooled completely. And he can take free kicks. For the love of Jesus Christ, yeah, anyone that can take Kane off free kicks.
Kane and Son, get them all.
Yeah, just them. Please, for the love of Jesus, get these men off set pieces, please. I don't know where they decided. So my verdict, is it a free that we're looking at him? Because I heard it was a loan originally.
No, apparently it would be a free transfer because they're trying to get Barca trying to get rid of him.
So, yo, if it's a free, take him, bro.
No brain, isn't it?
Take him. I don't even think it's a lose situation. It's for me, bro, personally, it's win-win. We get a playmaker that we need. Yeah, he's got experience, more than enough experience, and we get him on. We don't pay a transfer fee. He's gonna be coming over for pounds sterling. Pounds are still worth more than the euros. Bring my man. Hear me.
You know what it is with him? I said it as well, no brainer. Like, a lot of people are like, yeah, but he could flop, it could be another Schweinsteiger, blah blah blah, etc.
Schweinsteiger wasn't a flop. Be harsh. That's harsh.
But even if I don't think he did well at United, and Bastion's one of my favorite players. But even if you want to use that point, Man United paid what, £60 million for Bastian Schweinsteiger, and we're paying them big wages.
Mm-hmm.
Free transfer. We're not talking. If you told me Sam Pjanic for 20, 30 million, I would say no. When I see Sabitzer available for 50 million, I'll say no. But if you told me get Pjanic on a free transfer, a good technician, in fact, an excellent technician, on the risk that, oh, maybe he may not hack the league, but you're only paying his wages and signing on fee, fam, all day, every day.
Because you said Sabitzer. How much is Sabitzer going for?
Apparently, he's going for around 15 to 20 million euros.
15 to 20 million, yeah, man.
He's got 1 year left to be sure. Bro.
That's not bad. I'd get both.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
I don't see the risk.
There's no risk.
Get one on the free and get one for 15, 20 mil.
Yeah.
Get rid of Sissoko. You're already looking like your team is already technically better. But you have a better kind of quality of player. Better. Like, come on, man.
You
like,
said you said Sissoko. We don't have that guy no more. I deleted him. Sissoko. Come on, bro, let's delete him.
It's nuts to me. It's nuts. It's like, because I'm like, bruv, signing someone like Pjanic on a free gives us the opportunity to then spend actual transfer kitty on like a Sabitzer. And then if you spring in two midfielders, then that gives us, that means now we actively have to sell Winks. We have to sell Sissoko. We have to sell Dele to create space. We could even consider looking at selling the likes of Lo Celso as well. Just sell players that just aren't contributing. It gives us that flexibility.
What was the list? He had Lamela, Mora.
No.
Because these are right? Mora. Coco.
What, players that I think need to go?
Yeah. And minimum we'll make is 10 million from each.
Lamela, Mora, Winks. Yeah, I said Mora. I don't care if he had a decent season.
Yeah, Mora come back. I'm cool with it.
Sissoko, Dyer, Sanchez, Doherty, Serge Aurier. He wants to leave on a 1 year left in his deal.
Yeah, that's
like eight players there.
Guys, man, like, I don't know. I saw the Tottenham social
Dele media as well.
Like, the other day, and I was just getting mad. Like, looking at all the guys that we have that played in Euros, and then I'm looking at the guys left back at Hotspur Way.
Yeah.
And it's just mid ballers in that team, man. Just looking at Dele and Dio and Lamela warming up again. Just so many mid ballers. Just get them out of the club, man. Like, why are we not doing more to get them out, man? Get these mid ballers out of the team. Like, honestly, I can't keep
I'm gonna say something about that, yeah. Like, and I know there's gonna be fans out there that they're gonna be cussing. But I don't rate Mings, as you man know in the group anyway. Yeah, I don't rate Mings like that. Yeah. Not to say that I don't think he's poo, but I don't rate him like that, yeah. But he made it into the England team. Dyer, can't even come into the Grenada team. Yeah, that's how Grenada don't even have a 22-man squad that you or I or Toby can mention. Yeah, but Dier should never be selected for any nation on the face of this planet. He shouldn't even be selected for a nation like Antarctica. Like, he shouldn't be for none of them. Yeah, that guy is absolutely dog shy. And if we don't freaking let this guy go out on mutual consent, free, kick him out. Yeah,
no,
mutually consent to sacking him. Yeah, I want Levy to call him in and tell him, you are absolutely shocking. This is how I want Levy to do it. Dier, come in. You know, I've gone and seen the Touchline Hotspurs video, and these men, they call you diabolical. Yeah, they've put a twist on your name. It's not good press for Spurs. It's not good press for me. I've lost my hair because of signing players like you. So from this point on, you can tell people you're a Spurs player, but you don't play for us no more. You're sacked. That's how I want it. Yeah?
Leave him going, man. This,
do it.
We need to go, man. What annoys me about what's happening is that I'm all well and good happy. Like, sorry to go off topic, Tobes. I'm all well and happy for us to be looking at these potential players, but we need to get the deadwood out. Facts. We need to get the deadwood out. We've got to get these bums gone. Like, once you get the bums gone, you have a fresh plate to work with. But with these bums just diluting the squad with their midness, it's looking like we're going to be doing the same rubbish just under a new guise with Nuno. Yeah. And I don't need that. I don't need the rubbish of Lamella and Moura mixing with my Canes and Sons. I don't need the midness of Winks and Soko mixing with Ndombele. I do not need my defenders like Reguilon and Cesc being mixed with the bums that Sanchez and Dier. Get the deadwood gone first. Paratici seems like he's working hard, but bro, work harder.
Work harder.
Work harder. Facts. I need to see these bums gone. Work harder.
Facts.
Hey, Tops, no rest for album wicked. When you drop it, I'm purchasing it. Yeah, I'm purchasing your album when you drop it. That was nothing but facts.
Quality. Shree's even said the same thing. Like, we're not seeing a lot. We're only seeing Alistair Gold saying Spurs are open to this player. We're going, oh, X club is monitoring this. I don't want to see monitoring. I don't want to see open. I want to see bids. I want to see bids. Get them out. Sayonara. Goodbye. Arrivederci, man. Fam, they need to skate. They need to flipping skate. But anyway, let's get off of that and let's finish off with the most ridiculously poor part of our team, our centre backs.
Oh Jesus!
So we spoke about Tomiyasu last week.
Yeah.
And the rumours this week are that they knocked back our first bid and we want to go back in for a second bid. And apparently we're sniffing around for Jules Koundé. We spoke about both centre-backs last week. So before I end the pod, anyone want to comment on either centre-backs? Because this Tomiyasu guy, I've spoken to some guys who've watched Serie A a lot, and they seem to like him. I don't have a clue what he's going to be like, but from what I've seen and read, from what I've seen in comps anyway, and from what I've read, he looks like a technically sound player. But again, anyone looks good in comps. I don't know or have any indication of how good this guy will be because he's an unknown quantity. And there you go, Spurs, signing unknown quantities.
Koundé, so let me just clarify that I saw a little shot towards Spurs in a recent press releases. Apparently, man calling us second tier. Can anyone clarify whether that was from his mouth or not?
I don't know.
I saw that as well. Like, to be honest with you, all the media that I've seen with regards to Koundé, it always seems to be like a little bit laughable, a little bit of shade being sent towards the Tottenham sort of group in terms of whether or not we can actually afford to buy him or whether or not he actually wants to drop his level from Sevilla to come to someone like Tottenham. I don't know, man. Like, to be honest with you, if we're not going to pay the money, then we should just cross him off the list and move on to someone that actually wants to play for Spurs. Like, with regards to Tomiyasu, you know, I'm reading a lot. I read quite a good article by Breaking the Lines on Tomiyasu, on his ability as a centre back and his willingness to want to defend and learn about the art of defending, which I think is also very important. Again, I've not seen enough of him to be able to know, but all I do know is that he is a very competent centre back, and they speak quite highly of him, despite him being quite young. So if we can get that over the line, again, like, you know, Levy and his cronies, stop moving like a cheapskate. Just pay the peas, get him in, get embedded, and we can go from there. At this point, man, we need defenders. It's so obvious that as well that we need defenders. That's clearly an area of our team that needs moving. And preseason started on Monday, guys. We still ain't got new centre-backs. Like, that should be worrying to us. That should be worrying.
What I would add to that is, I said this last week, I stick by what comes out of my mouth, so people can't come and be like, you said this, you're going to take it back. I don't care, bro. Koundé can't decide on what his hairstyle is going to be. So I can't trust him at the back. Yeah. If you can't decide on something as fundamental as your haircut, I can't trust you with the technical sides of our defence. And if we're willing to pay 50 million, or that's what's been quoted for him, and that's how much it's going to take to prize him away from Sevilla,
I want it.
Why not just take 10 million off that and pay Inter for Skriniar? Like, I don't understand this nonsense. I don't get it. Yeah, Skriniar is by far the best defender that we've been linked with in the past two seasons. Yeah, like, I think apart from probably Diaz that we were linked with. But I don't get how this guy has come out of, because we saw him in the Euros. He got the rest of his side toasted against whoever France were facing. Man got absolutely ridiculed and gave, it was Portugal, gave a penalty. Man, why are you protecting your head with your hands? Nobody likes your face. So I don't get this. Why are we linked with people like this? It is nonsense that needs to stop. Absolutely stop today. I don't want to hear us linked with Koundé. Yeah, that is a Nigerian masquerading as a French person, and I'm not having it. Yeah, you Nigerians over here, Stop it. You've let him slide with his name, Koundé. We know Nigerian when we see one. Yeah, you've let him slide. This guy's cool. Let me tell you this guy. Yeah,
can't do that, Tops, bro.
Toby, if you don't get up to this guy and tell him to sort out his hair, I'm going to lose it. I don't want him at Spurs until he gets a decent haircut that can be respected by us fans. Furthermore, Tops is absolutely right. If we don't sort out this defence come August, whatever the freaking start of the season is, we're going to get burnt. We're going to get absolutely mullered by every single team in this league. And I'm not going through another season of heartache. I don't deserve it. These bastards had the audacity to send me an email saying, do you want to get a season ticket? For what? A heart attack? You must be bluffing.
This is quality. I agree with you and Tops. We need to sort out this defense. I am not big on Koundé. I've never been big on Koundé. Like, I'm not even doubting that he can play to some sort of level, but I don't, if I don't even think we have 50 million to spend on one player, but if we do, it's definitely not going to be Koundé that I want us to spend that money. It cannot be him. I think there are better players that we can buy for that money that can improve.
Who's the French player? Is it French? Is it at Vendebrugge? How do you pronounce it?
I don't know how you pronounce it. Lacrosse.
He's gonna absolutely kill us. We've muted his name. We've killed him.
Who are these guys that we're linked with? Like,
I saw his compilation though.
Apparently, he's meant to be quite good.
Is he young?
Yeah, he's young.
Yeah, he's young.
I mean, like, are you man still on locking down Anderson or not? No.
I don't even care now.
Listen, if we sign a beastly centre back and another reasonable good centre back, I don't really I don't care if it's, and I don't mind Anderson. Do you get what I'm saying? I think he'd be a good addition, but it's not the end of the world. He's not indispensable for me. Like, yeah, we can get another Anderson. Yeah, do you get what I'm saying? True. I just need us to sign good players. I think it's just because he's available at a good price. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, someone said it's Lacroix.
It's Lacroix. Okay.
Lacroix. Okay.
All right, cool.
let's sort of end it here, lads. Those who are watching or those who have watched with us, thank you for watching. Make sure you hit us up on Twitter as well, at Spurs_touchline on Twitter. Yao Bruce Busia on Twitter, Tops 881 on Twitter, and then for me, Tapping Tobes on Twitter. Make sure you hit us up. Let us know your thoughts on this episode as well. The final is going to be ferocious. The Discord is going to be popping, of course. Discord live this Sunday, Touchline Fracker Discord live. If you've been in Discord at a domestic level, you know they pop off, so you don't want to miss it. Make sure you are in that Discord on Sunday. It is going to be mental. We might see Harry Kane solidify his claim for a Ballon d'Or nomination. Who knows?
Let's see.
But guys, Yao, Tops, thank you for hopping on. Enjoy your weekend, lads.
Wonderful. And
let's hope it comes home. Simple.
Come on, England, man. Come on, England.
Peace out.
On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. A great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.